Hello and welcome to the podcast at the end of the universe. It's me, Katie Rex. You can find me on Twitter at EOTU Comics. Today I have another one of my amazing creator interviews. Well, today I have most of an amazing creator interview. At some point near the end, you will hear the point at which my computer blows up. So you get to hear everything that happens up until then, though. And it's good, so enjoy it. The musical feature is Wounded Giant. They're a power trio from Seattle, Washington, formed in late 2011. The band members are Dylan A. Rogers, Alex Bitnar, and Bobby James. And Bobby, by the way, is a total sweetheart. Hi, Bobby. Thank you. The album that we are going to listen to is called Lightning Medicine. You can find their contact information in the show notes. So without further ado, please listen to my interview with writer Brockton McKinney of M Theory. And that's, by the way, E-H-M-M, not like the letter M, but also including the letter M twice. Well, then I guess let's get started.
Amen. Hey, can you hang on one second? Yeah. I'm going to grab a beer just real quick. I didn't realize how quickly I was going to drink. I'll be right back. Two seconds.
Skilly-doo, 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 skilly-doo.
There we go. And I grabbed two just to be sure.
Good plan. All right. Did you listen to my Rat Queens interview?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You know that I bought them some drinks, right?
Yeah.
And then we ended up talking about Orc Dave's pubes.
Right.
I just want to be clear. You're doing this drinking thing voluntarily.
Yes, absolutely doing it voluntarily. And I also like that it was, because I usually have to ask beforehand, like, what's the line here? Am I allowed to curse?
Oh, yeah, no lines.
Yeah, there's obviously no lines.
Good.
Okay.
I'm glad that
pubes,
that's evident.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. Right. All right, so today I have another crazy cool creator interview. I don't want to, that's not the title of the segment. That sounds dumb, doesn't it?
I love it. No, that,
crazy,
that's
crazy cool. No, it was really dumb.
That's perfect for me.
Okay.
Now I'm putting that on a shirt. All right, it's too all late right. now.
So yeah. Anyway, you are. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Brockton McKinney. I write a comic book called M Theory for Action Lab, and I have a few other books coming out before the end of the year.
Cool. Thank you, by the way, because we were just talking about my Rat Queens interview, and they totally made me try and say their names without having heard them ever.
It's the worst,
it's,
man.
It's mean.
It's so mean. I'm going to give it a shot tonight. I got to be honest with you. There's a couple people on the list of that I work with that I've never said their names out loud. So I was like, yeah, so I want to give it a shot. I think I talked about it, and I was like, hey, you think this is how you say this person's name? So we'll see. We'll see how good. I'm in the same boat.
Though. Well, you know, I think that you have a similar excuse to me, though. Normally, when I fuck up people's names, I can be just like, whoops, Minnesota accent.
Oh, yeah.
See?
That's nice. Yeah.
And you
totally.
Are not Minnesota, obviously.
Right.
Which is
I don't know
probably
what the
better.
Fuck mine is. Yeah.
You don't want to sound like
weird,
an extra from Fargo.
Yeah, mine's some kind of weird amalgam of living all over the place on the East Coast. So.
I think you. I don't know. That was a Maryland O right there, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it? Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Baltimore. Yep.
You know I live in Rockville, right?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you were out of. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So let's actually talk about your book, though. Sorry.
Sure. Or whatever.
Right.
I'm fine with talking about geography.
I mean, okay. Let's talk about all the places we've lived and also all the pets we've had.
You got it.
Once I had a goldfish, her name was Laura.
I had a dog that's name was Bo at the same time that I had a best friend that's name was Bo.
Man, that's
super
awkward.
Weird. Yeah, it was weird. I think I named him that because he was
right.
my best friend. And I was like, oh, you know.
So which one of them was more likely to shit the rug?
Bo Fader, the actual, still one of my really good friends.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, still probably my best friend in the world. And like guy who like co-owns Lost Story Studios with me and Jonas Britt, and that dude is absolutely likely to shit a rug, even to this day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to meet that person.
Yes, you would. We gotta have drinks sometimes. We gotta figure this out. We'll figure out a convention thing where you can meet these guys.
Definitely. cool.
They're the worst. I don't even want to oversell it. They're the worst.
Yeah?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, the worst people are most likely to be my friends. So.
All right. These guys are going to be your best friends.
Excellent. So I'm sort of, I don't know if this is like a I should ask this on the show question, because I don't know the answer, and I try to only ask questions where I have some idea of the answer. How did you find me?
We found each other on Twitter. I found you on Twitter, and it was some podcast that you had done or a review that you had done, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. And so I just like listened to it a little bit, and I was like, great. I'm always looking for people, especially like that like to review comic books.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, she seems like she's got a cool voice for it. So I clicked it, and there it goes.
I mean, at the time, only the pilot episode was up, and if you only listened to a few minutes, you may only have heard me say that I have a cute butt.
So that would have done it.
How much influence was my butt?
That would probably be 100% of it right there.
All right.
That would be all I need. Click,
excellent.
Done.
Excellent.
Stop the, yep.
All right. Finish. Cool. Yeah, that was an important part of my pilot episode.
That's it. Then you nailed it.
Excellent. I'm really glad that I have a lot of credibility in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Or at least your butt does.
Right. It's right. A very important butt. a VIB.
Oh, yeah.
So M-Theory.
M-Theory.
It is about Gabriel M. and Mr. Whispers.
It is.
So when you told me about it, originally, it wasn't a series that I was familiar with, and you were like, hey, there are talking animals. It's really funny. And I definitely thought that meant all ages.
Yeah, we get that a lot. We did get that a lot, but after that first issue, we stopped getting that.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that I really love about Mr. Whispers, and the whole idea of the talking animal thing is that it doesn't have to be for kids. Like, for me, like, I love talking animals, that idea growing up, Disney, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then as I got older, anything that was like supposed to be cute but that cursed or spit or killed things was always super funny.
Sure.
To me. So, you know, I had an affinity for it. And then when we were working on, I mean, he was part of the original. He was actually bigger. Mr. Whispers was like a full-grown cat.
No.
in the original. Yeah.
He's so much better as a kitten.
He's so much better as a kitten. And we shrunk him down. And as soon as Larkin Ford, the series artist, sent me over the picture of him, I was like, what if he was like a kitten? I think it'd be funnier if he was a kitten saying this stuff. He sent over the picture, and I just like sat back and smiled, and I was like, that's him. That's
good.
Mr. Whispers. So, yeah.
So your premise is that Gabriel and Mr. Whispers are dead people on a quest? Well, not people necessarily. Because Mr. Whispers is a kitten.
That's right. But they are mistakenly killed and brought back to life by a guy claiming to be St. Peter. And he says, I'm sending you back to Earth to do some task for us to earn your place in heaven. And they're skeptical of it right off the bat. Not exactly sure what's going on, but he sends them back. And one of their first tasks is to fight these zombie circus midgets.
That was
and
awesome.
So that's the first issue. That gets you started. If that sounds interesting to you, the cat's cursing, fighting zombie midgets, they're St. Peter and weird teleporters with a gas chamber, if that kind of thing's up your alley, then M-Theory's for you. And as the series progresses, you start to figure out there's more going on than maybe we initially thought.
Right. I also want to put it out there that that Gabriel dies very violently, but Mr. Whispers starves to death as a kid.
He starves to death.
Which is
I know.
So fucked up, man. Why did you write that?
It's the worst. It was like, I was gonna, we went over it. That first issue, there's never been a comic book I worked on that we went back and forth more about the details than we did the first issue of M-Theory. Because there were all these things we wanted to make sure. And one of them was that, because we talked about it, we're like, she's going to shoot a kitten? That's like messed up, man.
That would be the worst.
Shoot a kitten. And we were going to show it anyway, but just the idea that the kitten got shot. And so we were like, you know, realistically, she's like, I don't care if the kitten lives or dies. I'm just leaving the apartment and, you know, leaving the body. But there's no one there to feed the cat. And so he was so logistically and it just kind of worked out. And we thought it was better than shooting the cat.
Is it?
But it seemed like it to us. We were like, just for our own benefit. No, it's way worse to starve, probably. At least you get shot. It's
right,
over with.
Right.
But we were like, we don't want to be the guys who are like, people are like, it's hard to get past that, you know?
Yeah.
We were like, and then they shot a kitten? We were like, because you never see the kitten actually die. You just wake up in purgatory. Mr. Whispers is walking around talking. You don't have to deal with it. You're like, oh, he starved, but there he is. He's fine now. It's okay. So there was, we were very careful to make sure that nobody was like put out by it, because we're big animal lovers, both of us, me and Larkin. And even the fact that Gabriel, because the premise of it is that his girlfriend thinks that she has been cheated on by him. And we were very careful to make sure that you know from the good to go that he did not cheat on her. Like, it was important for us to understand Gabriel's character, too, before he got shot. Just that little bit, you know?
Okay.
So we went over, like, there's a lot of details in that first one that, like, we were back and forth about.
Now, was that important in terms of, like, characterizing him, or was that important in terms of he didn't deserve to die and that makes this whole thing unjust?
Characterizing him, for sure. We just didn't want anybody to walk away from that first issue going, well, you know, he kind of got what he deserved, or well, it's not what he deserved, but he wasn't a great guy anyway, and that kind of thing, because we knew he hadn't. That was the thing, is like, we knew he didn't. And you know, if you've read the series, you realize later on, you know, why it would be, it's an impossibility anyway. But we had to make sure that right off the bat you knew, because we didn't want you to have to wait four issues to get the idea that this guy was a good guy and really did love her, and it was, you know, kind of just a shitty turn of events for him.
Man. And this sounds really depressing as we're talking about it, but it's fucking hilarious, though.
No, yeah, we got that out of the way. Again, that's a quick, you know, you knock that out in two pages, kill that dude off, bring him back, cat's talking, everybody's laughing, St. Peter's sending him back, midgets are attacking. It's like, you get that, knock out the sort of low point right off the bat. The first trade of M Theory is out right now. You can pick up the first four issues in the trade right now. Should be in your local comic book store. If it's not, ask them to grab it, because it's still in print and you can get it. And as of today, the solicit went out for the volume two, and that series starts up in September and goes monthly till the end of the year. So volume two is waiting to go, and volume two is even crazier than volume one to me. I mean, and it's like the first volume's like setting the stage, and we got to like introduce you to the characters and show you who they were and what we were going to do. In the second one, we just go balls out crazy. We're just like, all right, this is all the stuff we've been talking about. Here's all the crazy ideas. Here's like, you know, and this is first time I've talked about it, but I feel like since the solicit's out and people are going to kind of see it on the cover, there is a, and I'm not going to say what his relationship is to Mr. Whispers, but there is a character named Dr. Whiskers, who is a cybernetic cat that is a cybernetic kitten, and he can only say like three phrases. He can say lollipop, because he wants a lollipop. He can say motherfuck, and he can say money. That's like his three things he says. And then to get him, you can start him up and get him revved up so you can throw him by starting with like a pull chain thing that would be like on a lawnmower. So you rev him up and he'll start glowing really hard, and you can throw him and he'll blow people up. And that's Dr. Whiskers is coming, and you get to meet him in the first issue of the second series.
Excellent. Would you say that the new stuff is guaranteed to make you shit the rug?
Oh, absolutely. The minute Bo Fader read it, actually, you know what? He was shitting the rug before he picked it up. So I don't know. I would say yes, but that dude is just a rug shitter. So, you know,
right.
I'm not 100%. But yes, it seems like it would.
Excellent. All right, let's take a quick break here and listen to Sinistra from Lightning Medicine by Wounded Giant.
We'll be right back.
where did this idea come from? Like, is this just how your head works?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It wasn't like, it's not based on any, you know, one real particular thing. We were just, we wanted to come up. Myself and Larkin had both been working on separate companies, projects, and we wanted to work together and do something. And he was like, when you've got something, let's talk about it. And so, like, I had the, just the vague kind of, it's a guy, it's a cat, the cat talks, they're dead. Here's kind of what I want to do with it. And so I sent it to him, and he was like, man, that's it. Let's start working on this. And so, like, I think I whipped up, like, an initial little outline and sent it over to him. And from there, we went back and forth for, like, 2 months just being like, well, what about this? What about this? Wouldn't it be crazy? Well, I want superheroes. That was a big thing, is that, like, as you know, like, in the second issue, we get into some, like, weird superhero stuff with the God team. Mm-hmm. And so he was adamant about, like, I want to do some superhero stuff, man. We both love X-Men, that kind of, obviously, you know, all that stuff. And so he's like, if we're doing it, man, let's throw in the kitchen sink. Let's put everything in there. And so we had the most fun, like, creating all those characters and coming up with all that stuff. And then all of that gets to play into the second series where you really see where we're going with it.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about Larkin.
Yeah.
The character designs are really, really great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's all Larkin, honestly.
He did... God, what do I even want to ask here about the... I'm making gestures. The scarf, I don't know.
Oh, the Aliona's scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like... Because I do these little brief descriptions of the characters, and then we kind of build on it, and I just knew that I wanted her to be this, like, older Russian woman because she has that, you know, she has the Dominika is her sister. So there's almost these two sisters, two Russian sister twins almost. And they had the connection with Gabe's father, Aaron. So I wrote out all this stuff or whatever, and he would send over these character sketches, and he came up with the sash over her head kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He came up with a St. Peter's look. Like, we knew we didn't want him to look like the traditional St. Peter.
Right.
But I was like, I don't know, is he wearing, like, a suit or something? He was like, what if it's a white suit? He's got a cigar. He's got a ponytail. I was like, God, that's like, goddamn, that's Miami Vice. That's badass. Yeah, totally, let's do that.
Nice.
And so, yeah. So he, all that design stuff is him. He comes up with that. We throw out something weird, and he'll be like, let me give me a second. And he'll, like, take a cell phone pic and text it over to me. I'm like, oh, my God, you nailed it. First try? What? So, yeah.
That's awesome. I think it's really cool that you guys managed to co-contribute in a way that doesn't put one of you before the other one.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things I think that makes M-Theory work is that I write, he draws, but I also draw, and he also writes. So we can help each other out and go back and forth. He'll look at a script and be like, is that the third act? Like, should we push it back? I'm like, oh, man, that makes more sense. Or, like, the original cover of M-Theory was a totally different cover, and I was like, hey, what about this? And I sketched something out and sent it over to him, and that's that cover where Gabe's standing there with the bat and the blood everywhere and the kittens sitting in it, and that became, like, our, like, little iconic cover. And mine is a sketch, like a freaking stick figure sketch. Sure. And he sent his back, and I was like, what? But because we can both do that kind of thing, I think it adds to the M-Theory flavor because you're getting both of us, you know, work on it real hard. A lot of it's true co-creator stuff.
So is this your dream team?
It is definitely my dream team. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's like me and him had wanted to work together forever, And I got to do, it was originally a black and white book. We put out, like, the first issue, our first two issues as preview issues to give out to publishers. Mm-hmm. And when Action Lab picked it up, they said, we need it to be color. We can totally do this. We want to sign you guys, but we want to do it in color. And so one of the guys that I worked in our studio with, we have a studio in Chapel Hill called Lost Story Studios. His name was Jason Strutz, and he's an artist. He's a color artist. He does everything, inks, pencils, whatever. And I was like, hey, man, do you want to color this? And he was like, let me give it a shot. And he did it, and we sent in the test pages, and he got the job on it. So it was like all three of us were like, wow, we got a job. This is awesome. You know, like knocking through those four. And he's gone off to do awesome stuff. He's working with Red Stylo, like drawing these new Edgar Allan Poe comics right now.
Oh,
and
and
they're awesome. They're great. He's drawing that stuff. And we have a new colorist for the second series named Amy Hanchy, and she just came in and whipped our shit. It was badass. She like came in, like turned in her pages. We had a bunch of people try out for it after Jason was like, he did four, mm-hmm. and then he was like, I got this other job. And we were like, dude, forget about it, man. You did it. It was awesome. And but Amy's blew us away, and so she's the new colorist on the second series.
Awesome. How did you find Action Lab? Or how did Action Lab find you? How did that work out?
There was a comic book convention in Asheville, and it's called the Ace Con. And it was the only convention I missed. I had a wedding for one of my good friends, Glenn. I missed that convention. First one I missed in a decade. And so Bo and Larkin went to that one and did it. And while they were there, one of our friends, Jeremy Whitley, who writes the comic Princeless, was there.
Oh, I just got that. I just got the first trade of that. I love that.
Oh, it's
that.
So good.
Yeah,
so
sorry. Good. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just really like
that.
No
way. No, you're not interrupting. It's an amazing book. It's like, love it. And I've known Jeremy. We've known each other like, you know, forever since we were, you know, both like, man, it'd be awesome to write comic books. And so he got Princeless, and it got signed by Action Lab. And then he knew we were working on M Theory, and he came up to Bo and Larkin and said, hey, listen, Action Lab is starting a separate mature readers imprint. I don't have a name for it yet, but they're going to be asking for, you know, submissions. So why don't you guys jump the gun, go ahead and throw some stuff in there and see what they got. And so we were able to kind of get in from he opened that door for us, and we were able to send it in. And Dave DeWanch was the guy who signed us. He's the creative director over there. And he was like, dude, I love it, you know, and hooked us up with Jason Martin, who is the publisher for the Danger Zone side of Action Lab. And that was it, man. Like, those guys like came in and said, here's what we got to do. We were like, do we do it like this? And they were like, no, this is how, you know, took us under their wing, got us all started and made it, you know. So the first issue sold out on the distribution level on the opening week. So those guys obviously knew what they were doing.
Yeah, no kidding. So do you guys do variant covers? Is that a thing?
This is, yeah, we did, when the first M Theory sold out, we did variant covers. They would be like, you're sold out. What are you going to do, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, we got to draw some covers. So, like, Larkin and I would, like, you know, sketch out stuff and send it over and try to get it approved. And I think we did three variant covers for the first issue. And even there was one time where right off the bat they were like, we got to do it even sooner, you guys can't even get us stuff in time. So they actually cropped the original cover and just put Mr. Whispers, where he's in like the blood. They're just like blew that up really big, and that's one of the variant covers. And Dave DeWanch like cropped it beautifully, and the whole thing, the resolution looks great. And that was like a convention cover that went out as well.
Nice.
But this time around, we actually have a variant cover by another artist. It's Jerry Gaylord. He's like a superstar guy, and he did a killer cover. He did the Dr. Whiskers. That's why I went in and talked about it. I was like, people are gonna see it. He did a Dr. Whiskers kind of busting through the cover of the original M Theory issue. So that's our variant, and I think it's limited to like 2,000 issues. So there's the original cover, and then the variant, Jerry Gaylord with the Dr. Whiskers smashing through the original M Theory cover.
Nice.
So. Yeah.
Awesome. I have mixed feelings on variants myself.
Yeah?
Well, because really, comics are for reading.
Yeah.
And so when you get several variant covers, you're like, what am I going to do now? They're awesome, and I'm going to keep them, and then just, like, not touch them again.
Because they're just sitting there.
Right.
Yeah.
And
no, I totally understand
that. I definitely have variant covers where I have, like, three different variants of the same book. And I'm only reading one of them.
Right. The rest of them are stay in the bag.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I have always been that guy as well, up until I was able to get people to do variant covers. And I was like, I love variant covers. They're so badass. Because I was like, it is amazing to see like somebody else take on your characters. You know? And so, and again, they limited this one. They were like, this is like a, it's almost like a retailer incentive kind of thing. I'm going to pop a beer right here. That's going to be loud, I know.
You're fine.
But it's a thing where it's like, if you just love M Theory and you wanted to see this, this is like a cool way to get a piece of art that you wouldn't have been able to get anywhere else.
Definitely. So, well, and as snobby as I am about variant covers, like I said, I totally have some. So.
Oh, me too. I'm exactly the same way.
Yeah. Cool. I do appreciate that when things are like trade collected, most of the variants are included.
Yeah, that's it. We want all that stuff thrown into the trades for sure. Like anything that's been put out, we'd like to see it all like collected in a trade so you can get it all in one place. Yeah. It's kind of nice.
So what else are you working on these days to like completely segue away from everything?
Sure. No. That'd be great. There's a comic book. It's an anthology called Killer Queen, and it's based on the music of the band, the legendary rock band Queen.
Great. I'm so glad that you're talking about this right now.
It's so badass. This blew my damn mind off. So they asked me to pitch for it, and I said, what am I, you know, like, I love Queen. It's a huge Queen fan. What do you want me to do? They said, you can do anything you want to do. They're like, but don't do anything like historical. Don't like try to like tell the story of them, you know, something you've read. Just what does the music make you kind of feel? What are you thinking about? Like, you know, and like, just give us a script. Let's see what you got. Give us one page. Okay. I think I turned in like 6 pages right off the bat.
Right.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, but I can trim this down. I was like, but I feel like the dialogue's important. So like I sat around and like listened to Queen for like 2 weeks and
so hard for you.
It was just a chore. God, it killed me. What am I doing? Right. Why do I have to do this? It's a rough job, a hateful fucking job. So like, why am I doing this? Queen's blaring, and let's do it. And I came up with the idea of Freddie Mercury as a secret agent, super spy, like a period in his life where these are the things that he did. He's an agent of Champion, which is kind of like S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of deal, sure. Nick Fury kind of thing. And
is it an acronym?
It's not, though. Oh, okay. No, it's just straight up Champion. It was too many letters. I thought about it, and I was like, fuck it. I'll never remember it. I'll never be able to tell people that. I was like, no, we'll just call it Champion.
All right.
Champion Corp. And I went crazy on it. I write differently depending on like what the project is, but for this one I wrote most of the dialogue with like no scene breaks, no panel stuff or whatever. I just knew what I wanted him to say and like kind of how it went out. So I wrote this whole thing and I trimmed it down and I sent it over. Enrica Jang was is our editor on the book, and so I sent it to her, and I said, well, you know, and weeks pass, like, God damn, I didn't get the Queen thing. I was like, it's so sad, I knew I wasn't gonna get it, I knew I wasn't, and she got back to me, and she was like, man, I'm laughing my ass off, I love this,
good.
Let's do it, welcome to Killer Queen, and I seriously danced. It's a rare occasion when I will dance around the house, but I danced because I was like, holy God, we got the Queen thing, so I was like, they were like, you know, we're going to try out some artists. We'll send some stuff over and see what you think. And I was like, I actually kind of have somebody in mind. Do you mind if she tries out? And they were like, no, absolutely. Like, send it over. Her name is Bridget Connell. And I was like, so I called her. I said, dude, I got this Queen thing. And, she was like, Queen, the band? I was like, yeah, it's a fucking band, Queen. I was like, listen, you got to draw some shit, some Freddie Mercury. She's like, oh, Corey, I'm going to draw some Freddie Mercury shit right now. She's like, I think I was already drawing Freddie Mercury shit. And so she drew this, like, picture of, and it's on my Twitter account, but it's a picture of Freddie Mercury, like, jumping on a tiger. I sent her over the script, and he's, like, riding the back of the tiger and flying through the sky. He's, like, got his hands, like, yeah, or whatever. And I was like, I think you nailed it. And so we sent over a bunch of stuff. She got the job. And so she's the artist on it. And she's, I think she's turned in 4 of the 8 pages so far, and they are amazing. It is like knocking my damn brain out.
That's awesome.
I was like, it's like, so yeah, and that stuff, I believe it comes out in October. It's called Killer Queen Anthology. It's from Red Stylo. It's myself, Bridget Connell, with Enrica James Jang as our editor, and who was amazing, such a kick-ass editor to work with. I'm a big fan of editors who, like, just talk to you and tell you what you need and don't bullshit you. And she was incredible and just kind of came in and said, here's what you need to do, and you got to clean this up, and you can fix this, and what if you move this here, and I like that, and tell Bridget this, and that. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And so knocked it out, cleaned it up real quick, and so that's it's a done deal. And, like, I think it hits in October.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you're going to totally grow a Freddie Mercury mustache, right?
Oh, hell yeah. My Freddie Mercury mustache is going to be pretty skeevy looking. I don't want to do a whole, it's like a weird, like a thin, more like a John Waters mustache or
that's
something.
Embarrassing.
Like, I would try, but it's,
also,
it totally is. Yeah.
Also,
I don't
for
do
the
it.
Record, John Waters uses eyeliner. It's in,
oh,
yeah,
really?
It's in a,
that
it's
makes
in a
sense.
Book of his.
He just pencils it in. Yeah, that makes way more sense. That's unfortunate for me that that's what mine comes out looking like. Just
man,
let
that's
it,
embarrassing.
Let it go wild.
Sort of emasculating,
yeah, totally
even.
Is. Oh, don't worry.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I shave, though. Luckily, I'm super handsome. Like, my face is
right.
Like,
yeah,
crazy,
no, I was
like,
noticing
great.
That.
So it's like you don't have to hide it. Yeah, you don't have to, like, there's no, like, need to, like, beard
sure.
it up. Thank God, you know. If though, you know, something happens, there's an accident, motorcycle mm-hmm. scraping up the face or whatever, you know, then I'm fucked. Because
right.
then I'm going to grow
oh,
a tiny
man.
Mustache, and then people are going to be like,
yeah.
creeper, straight
that
creeper.
Terrible.
You know, there's no hiding it. Oh, dude, totally. No beard coming out the sides either. Like, no, like, sideburns stop, and then nothing. And then, like, you know, maybe goatee. Like, but not even the goatee. It's
sure.
sketchy. It's like, you know, there's maybe 20, 30, you know, hairs. I don't know.
Right. So as you know, my podcast website blog situation is comics and music, and there are things
right.
like your Killer Queen project that to me indicate that there are increasing intersections between comics and music. Like, it's always been a thing, but now it's even more of a thing. Why do you think that is?
Man, that's a great question. I think because, like, for me, my favorite medium to work mm-hmm. in is comic books. But the one thing that I feel like I always wish I could add that almost
okay.
lacks is a soundtrack. Like, you can't, like, with movies or, you know, any of that other stuff, even podcasts, you can add music. And you can sort of dictate how the person feels by the music you put in. But with comic books, you don't have that, you know, whether they're reading it in with digitally or even with a, you know, just a regular print comic book, you just don't have that option. And so I remember I went to School of the Arts in Winston-Salem, and we would always do these little mixtapes that went along with the comic books that we would draw. And then, like, you know, and even if we couldn't give out the tape because that's too expensive, we would write it into the comic and be like, here's the 12 tracks we were listening to while we created this comic book. And that was always a big thing for me. So I can see how people are like, there's got to be ways to bring this in and, like, you know, there'd be a combo of the music and the comic books, put them together so that people can enjoy it. And you see it a lot now. So I think that's probably that intersection.
I think also there's probably, like, a thing where people who like comics are also people who are generally attracted to the rock and roll lifestyle.
Definitely. And just creatives in general.
Okay.
It's just like they're, you know, just people that creatives enjoy, like, being stimulated. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, people who read comic books, write comic books, just any of that kind of stuff or whatever, you have to have a certain amount of creativity that just exists in you and that suspended disbelief that you're willing to put forth to even read comic books, to like that kind of thing or whatever. And then with when you add in music to that, you know, then you're like, oh, man, that's like amazing. My brain's exploding.
Yeah. So would you say that you're rock and roll?
Yeah, I would definitely say I'm rock and roll. Yeah. Yeah, I played in bands up until I got into, until comic books started taking off for me, honestly. That was like, I played in bands my whole life. Well, I was signed to like a little minor label and, you know, traveled around with my dogs in a van with a bunch of guys and amps and it was, you know, and I was still drawing
and you were guitars, right?
And I was absolutely guitars.
Okay. Yeah.
You could tell.
I can. I have a.
You did.
I'm good at this.
You're good at it.
I can generally.
You know what you're doing.
I can generally tell. It's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, just one of those things. And you see it just so much, too. I know we, and this is a shameless plug, but we've got a book coming out called John Body Hunter, Intergalactic Motherfucker. That's coming out from Action Live Entertainment.
How do you put that on a shelf?
See, that's for the editor to decide. I don't know. They're sending it back and forth right now and trying to, like, we haven't, no one's broached the question yet where they're like, they've been like, all right, you know, like, we're okay with it. They've been working on all the other stuff that goes along with it, and no one said, how are we going to put this on the cover of a comic book? We tried a couple of things with those little squiggly lines and stuff, or maybe even, like, John Body Hunter Intergalactic Mofo, which, you know, kind of takes the sting out of it a little bit, though. So, yeah, we didn't love that particular. And honestly, the guys, it's the same crew. It's Action Lab Entertainment, and it's Dave DeWanch and Jason Martin, and those guys are so cool that they haven't even said, let's talk about this. They were just like, let's work on everything else. Let's figure out who's coloring it. Let's figure out, so we get there, we'll get there. It might just have a weird black bar through it. That'd be pretty funny to me. I always like
so
weird black
in
bars.
Terms of motherfucker, do you mean like in an Oedipal sense or like in a colloquial sense?
Colloquial, if anything, because it's just like, we're just saying, like, he's a badass motherfucker.
Okay.
This guy's coming
so
through.
So we're staying with funny and not incest.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. No incest. All right. I'm like a no incest, no rape guy. That's
all right.
Like my thing.
That's
it's just not my thing. Yeah. I'm like, not my thing. But then, and the point of this, and then we kind of got off track, but what I was going to say was that each of the issues is named after an AC/DC song. So the first one's called, like, Shoot a Thrill, and then the second one's, like, If You Want Blood. So that's another, like, little kind of thing where I was like, oh, man, I want to put music into this. This is what I've been listening to. Like, I want this to be in there. And just another example of why comic books and music kind of go together like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah. Or Nutella.
Oh, absolutely.
Shit. Mm. Now I want some fucking Nutella.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Oh, a fun fact about me. One of the only two karaoke songs I do is an AC/DC song.
Hell yeah. Which one?
I've Got Big Balls.
Oh my God. Really?
Oh yeah.
That's the one?
I fucking rock
badass.
That.
I'll bet you do. Holy God. That's not what I thought. You could have given me three guesses and I wouldn't have gotten that.
Good.
I swear to God.
Good. Because I seem really ladylike?
No. It's just a really weird, like, deep cut B-side kind of track.
All right.
To be, you know, I love it. I was like, wow, that's great. You know? Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, and the nice thing about it being not the most popular AC/DC song is that it gets me off the hook a lot.
Oh, yeah. People don't know. They're just like, damn, you are rocking the shit out of that. They're like, I've never heard that before. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it works out. It works out.
Yeah, I kind of listened. And Body Hunter was actually in the works even before the Killer Queen thing, but I still got on a kick where I was like, I'm only going to listen to AC/DC to write this. And I told Christopher Hanchy, is the artist on it, and I told him, I was like, I'm just going to listen to it. He's like, that's awesome, man. We should name the issues after. I was like, God, that's brilliant. All right, we'll do that. So that's how that came about.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you read Sex Criminals?
I just got it. I haven't read it yet, but I just got it. And I've heard nothing but good stuff about it. And I love Fraction stuff in general, so I don't think, you know, there's like, I feel like there's no way I can't like it.
Okay. There's a Fat Bottom Girls scene. And when you read it, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay. Well, so. I'm going to try and knock it out next week.
So how weird is it being like, because you just like achieved your dreams?
I guess, yeah. I mean, you're still, we're making M-Theory, you know, and that's like, but we've made a bunch of comic books and that's the one that actually kind of hit. And still, that's not like, you know, nobody's going into retirement over M-Theory.
Right.
You know, you're still making the Killer Queen thing, freaking amazing. Every little step is just like, you're like, man, kind of pinching yourself that it's like super awesome. And you pick up stuff that's like, that you never knew you were going to, like, I'm working on I just finished a script for a book, an anthology called Torso Bear. And, it is.
That's a horrifying name.
It's a horrifying name. It's a horrifying concept. It's a horrifying concept. Yep. It is. You are not wrong. They're like plushy animals, and it's the story of Ruxby Bear, who is a brand new cop, kind of a newbie in Toyville, and they're discovering these torsos of stuffed animals with the heads and arms and legs ripped off of them. They're just laying in the alleyways. But it's done in this super cartoony, beautiful, like I call it neon Disney style, that is like Brett, and here we go again. This is, I'm hoping I can say this right. Brett Urin, I believe. Or Urin. That can't be right, though. See?
Let's say Urin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brett created Torso Bear, put out like an 8-page short in another anthology, and people loved it. They went crazy for it. I fell in love with it. And then he decided he wanted to expand the universe and like put out a call for pitches. And I pitched for it, and he was like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, I wish I could just work with you on it because I love your art. And he was like, well, dude, let's do it. So he actually drew my story, and we had the best time. It was so awesome. We're going back and forth. And it's I think it's currently on Kickstarter right now. You can look it up, Torso Bear.
If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes so everybody can get at that.
Yes, please. It's like, because I really want it to do well. And again, it's one of those projects that you don't necessarily see coming. But then when it hits, you're like, man, I'm so happy to be a part of this. And so it's a really cool story. And the art's amazing. He sent me over all the pages. And the last page was like a big thing that I kind of wanted to be this like giant kind of period on the sentence thing. And he sent it to me and he was like, motherfucker, I just dropped the mic. And I was like, yes, you did. That is amazing. It looks so good. And so, yeah, he killed it. It's a great story. And I was super happy that he wanted me on there. It's called Torso Bear. But I think that's like out. They're actually pitching it around to publishers. They got like people like talking about it. But he's just trying to do the Kickstarter, honest to God, just to pay the people that that worked on it. He's just a nice guy, man. He's just a good cat. And he's just like, I'm gonna try to like get you guys paid. So either way, if you get a chance, Torso Bear.
And this is in no way related to the new Paddington Bear movie.
No, it is. It totally is. It's absolutely connected.
What the fuck? And that's where my computer blew up. Thank you again to Brockton McKinney, my hilariously entertaining guest, who didn't even get mad about my technological failings. We are going to close the show with another song from Wounded Giant. The album is Lightning Medicine. The song is Road to Midian.